All right. So for those of you who didn't receive the email, I'm going to sit up here for part of our time together. Shannon said I won't pace much this morning, so I guess we will we'll see. So I had a bit of a horse wreck on Friday. Some of you know that we have horses, and one of our horses and I aren't friends any longer. Long story short, part of my saddle broke. I fell off. She decided that I needed a few bumps and bruises, and then she kicked me in the head. So we spent a couple of hours on Friday in the emergency room. Everything's good. I just have this, my head is normally not, it has this odd shape on the side of it. And so thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your thoughts. And so many of you did get in touch. We're all good. Shannon made me sit on the couch yesterday, despite all of my efforts not to. And so thank you for thinking of me and praying for me in those moments. So we're going to jump in this morning. Hopefully it could be a very short sermon. I don't know. I might lose what I was talking about and we might just be over really quickly. I'm not too sure. We're going to start out in Acts chapter 2 this morning. As we have over the past few weeks, we've been walking through what it means for us to be a well church. Now, the subject this morning, when we talk about what it means to be a learning church, I think is one of those areas that often as Christians, we don't think through very much. You know, when we come to church, there's a lot of things that we participate in. We sing, we study together, we might read our Bibles. You come to Sunday school, you're connected to some kind of group. And in those situations, a lot of times, we don't always come with an attitude of a learner. Now, an attitude of a learner is an important perspective, isn't it? That just because you're in a situation where you can learn doesn't always mean that you will learn. Would you agree with that? For those of you who are educators in this room, does learning come naturally for everybody? No. We all have different styles of learning. For some of us, you heard the kids say different ways that people learn. You know, learning takes different techniques. Teaching takes different techniques. There's so much that goes into the process of learning, more so than just giving you information. As Christians, sometimes I think we struggle to get past this point that we have nothing left to learn. You know, a few years ago, I had a Christian tell me that there was nothing else they needed to learn from the Bible. Would you agree with that? This person was older. They had reached this point in their life that they believed that they had all the information that they ever needed to achieve from the Bible. Now, that's a dangerous place to move forward from, isn't it? It's a difficult place to move forward from. Let's start out in Acts chapter 2, as we have over the past few weeks, and dealing with the subject of what happened in the original church. In Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42, it tells us this: "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. Then fear came over everyone, and many wonders and signs were being done. Now all the believers were together and had everything in common. So they sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as anyone had need. And every day they devoted themselves to the meeting together in the temple complex and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and with simplicity of the heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And every day the Lord added to them those who were being saved." Over the past couple of weeks, we have walked through individual sections and parts of Acts chapter 2. But as we begin to dive deeper into what it means for us to be this well church, a worshiping church, evangelizing church, and now a learning church, each one of these elements has built from these principles that the original church began on. I want to start here in verse 42. If you look at verse 42, after verse 41, it says that 3,000 people were added to the followers that day. It says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching." They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. In order to be a healthy church, I believe it requires a commitment, not just to the preaching of God's word, but to the learning of God's word. that a healthy church, a well church, is to be a group of people who not just hears the word, but lives in the word. It requires not just reading the scripture, but living out the scripture. We're going to look at two different sections from the Bible this morning. The first one in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and then in Hebrews chapter 5. And in that, we're going to answer this question, hopefully, what does it mean for us to learn? You know, learning is one of those lifelong pursuits. Some of you, raise your hand, I'm just curious, how many of you liked school? Mostly over here. Raise your hands higher. I'm just curious. How many of you liked school? Some of us liked school, and well, I just want to ask, how many of you didn't like school? Some of you were much more excited about raising your hand about not liking school. Now, there's a lot of different dynamics, and you know, this week, as our children went back to school, I can tell you one of my children was very excited to go back. The other one was not. I'll just let you figure out which one was which. Now, there's a lot of different things that happen in the process of learning. Some of us learn much easier through what we would consider maybe a traditional classroom setting. Over the years, I've come to understand I don't learn as well from lecture-style learning. I have to participate. I have to work in. I have to be able to connect with the material in which I'm studying. Now, for me, learning has been a big part of my life. I've spent, at this point, I don't know much of life without learning. I've been in school forever, I believe. Most of you probably know I'm in the process of finishing up my doctorate. I don't give an update about it much, but I only have 2 chapters left. So amen for that. Hopefully before the next century begins, I'll have my doctorate finished from there. But learning is one of those things that has always been important to me. Now, maybe you didn't like school, but how many of you like to learn? All of us usually have some tendency. We find something that we're passionate about learning, to where all we do is we want to find out more about that subject. And we watch videos, we read books, we talk to other people. We become passionate about learning of that thing. Now, for us as believers, I think to some point we can become apathetic about learning. If we're going to grow as Christians, it requires a desire to learn. Now, for many, unfortunately, that perspective is really just boiled down to Sunday morning. When do I learn? Well, when I come to church. Now, the struggle behind that is when we come together as the body of Christ, we are called to learn, to grow, to develop, to love, to serve, to equip each other. But learning requires more than just that moment, right? When I was growing up in Texas, we had what was called the TOS test. Here in Montana, we have other tests. Ricky probably knows them. I probably should. What are the required tests here in the state of Montana? The SBAG test. Okay, what else? Sorry to point you out, Ricky, and picking on you. I don't remember what they are, but you all have required tests that you have to take. Now, imagine for just a moment, if you came to take that test and you had no preparation, how well do you think you'd be able to take that test? Not very well, right? Now, I was one of those students, particularly in math. I am not a mathematician by any means. I believed that I could show up for any test and I could take it without studying. How well do you think that went? Somebody's looking at, lots of you are looking at each other and pointing out the fact that that's how you study for a test. You see, sometimes that's how we approach our faith. We approach our faith with this perspective that well, I think I know enough to pass. We approach one another in our relationships with this perspective that I know all I need to know about what it means to be a follower of Christ. Now, before we go any further, I want to be very careful to recognize that just because you know the information doesn't mean you're living it out. One of the challenges about being a learning church is that we can become so inundated with information that we forget it has to come to the point of application. You see, just knowing it, the head knowledge, doesn't always translate to heart knowledge. Over the past few weeks, I've encouraged you to read different sections from this book I handed out called I Am a Church Member. If you don't have a copy, you would like a copy of it. We got some more here in. But I want to share, I think, one of the challenges that many of us have as we struggle to learn as believers. One of the areas that maybe we don't grow in very frequently. It says, starting on page 14, in the middle of the page, it says, we are not to love fellow church members just because they are lovable. We are to love the unlovable as well. We are not to pray for and encourage our pastor just when they are doing things we like. We are to pray for and encourage them when they do things we don't like. We are not to serve the church only when others are joining in. We are to serve the church even if we are alone in doing it. Church membership is founded on love, authentic, biblical, unconditional love. So next week, we're going to wrap up our sermon series on what it means to be a well church, and we're going to focus on the subject of love. But you see, I believe love is something that we have to continue to learn, to continue to grow, to continue to develop it. Because love for one another, even within the body of Christ, is often one of the elements that gets forgotten first. We like to tell others how much we know, but we don't like to show them how much we love. Maybe this morning that's a struggle for you, and I want us to look today in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, which is where we're going to begin this morning. Let me read verse 15 to you. It says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed, correctly teaching the word of truth. Here in 2 Timothy, Paul begins with a very simple statement, a charge to be attentive. To be attentive is to be awake, to be prepared, to be open to the opportunity to learn and to grow. This week I read this statement. It says, people develop an appetite for what they are fed. A church with a steady diet of feel-good sermonettes in place of good theology or solid teaching from Scripture will eventually raise a congregation that is weak. I can tell you that for me, that's a personal challenge as a pastor, as I get the privilege to stand and to teach and to walk through Scripture with you. But as a body of believers, what is it that we are building up? Are we in the habit of learning good things? Or are we just taking the very top of the barrel and not going any deeper within it? Paul charges us in these verses. We're going to look at verses 14 through 19 about what it means to be an unashamed worker. Let's look together in 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 14. It says, remind them of these things, charging them before God not to fight about words. This in no way is profitable and leads to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to prove yourself approved to God, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed, correctly teaching the word of truth. But avoid irreverent, empty speech, for this will produce an even greater measure of godlessness. And their word will spread like gangrene among those in Hymerus and Philetus. They have deviated from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place and are overturning the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, having this inscription, the Lord knows those who are His, and everyone who names the name of the Lord must turn away from unrighteousness. Paul here gives us this warning. He writes to Timothy, a young pastor, leading a church in the midst of what we would assume would have been a culture much like ours, a culture and a society struggling to understand where they should trust, where they should learn, where they should find their source of wisdom. Now, we live in a culture today that knowledge is easy to attain. Would you agree with that? Where do we attain knowledge? The internet, right? We go to Google. How many of you, my son likes to say, well, we just need to search it up. How many of you use Google this week? Pretty much everybody. At some point in time, we have gone to the all-knowing internet and we have found some snippet of information. Now, Are all the, let's just make this clarification. This is a PSA that I didn't intend to put in my notes, but is all the information on the internet true? Repeat that louder. No, it's not. But so often, if we read it, then it has to be true. If we see it, it has to be true. You know, one of the challenges as Christians is so much of the time we are given information, but we don't really dig deeper into it. If you read here in these verses, 2 Timothy, Paul is charging Timothy himself as a preacher to point people to truth. He tells them not to argue about words, because in no way does that provide anything of profit. But he tells them to be diligent. To be diligent means to put in the work. It means to do the, to put in the effort to learn and to grow in the things that you know you should. Some of us have gotten in the practice of not practicing. Some of us have believers have got to this place to where we felt that we can retire as a Christian because we have attained all the information which we believe that we need. Paul tells us, he reminds us here in 2 Timothy, that we as Christians need to be continuing to grow in truth. It says, remind them of these things. For some of us, as we mature as believers, maybe our foundations were built on the wrong subjects. For many people, I've known a lot of people who've spent a lot of time in education, a lot of time learning. But this idea, this word translated here in verse 15 of rightly dividing means to cut straight. So much of the time when we talk about learning, you can walk into my office and there's tons and tons and tons of books. But as you read through those books, sometimes it's just information for information's sake. One of the things I love about Montana is we really are kind of a just get to the point kind of people. Right? Would you agree with that? Don't fill me with fluff. Don't give me all the extras. Just tell me what you're trying to say so we can take it, we can use it, and we can move forward. But as Christians, so much of the time we get the information, but we don't actually begin to apply it to our lives. Verse 15 again says, be diligent to present yourself to God, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed. Now, the word ashamed, I think, for many of us is a challenging word. But all of us have done those projects to where we are afraid to show our work. I can remember as a child doing certain things, and my mom would come in and she would say, well, how far have you gotten? And I would usually tell her, I'm almost done. How far do you think I had gotten? I probably hadn't started. I was usually reading a book or doing something else I wasn't supposed to be doing. I can remember as a young man, I was working for a gentleman at the time who had given me a task. And rather than doing the task, I ashamedly took a nap. Do you know who woke me up? He did. And I can tell you, I did not work for that gentleman much longer. But I wonder how often as Christians we have stopped being diligent. I want to ask, how often do you read your Bible? How much time are you spending in prayer? In what ways are you growing? What ways are you connecting? Or have you just become comfortable with what it is that you know? Some of us have come from this position, now watch your toes, thinking that we have nothing else to learn and there's no one else who can teach us anything. Timothy here was dealing with the church who had come from that perspective, believing they had all the answers. And there was no one intelligent enough to tell them anything they didn't already know. Sound a lot like a teenager, doesn't it? Sometimes as Christians, we have become immature in our faith. The book of Hebrews deals in depth with such a subject, which we'll talk about in just a moment. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33, Jesus gives us these words. As Christians, we are to be diligent, growing in our faith, producing something better. Look at Matthew chapter 12. It says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. So if we can take for just a moment God's instruction manual for life. How are we growing in it? What are we learning from it? Or are we even learning from it? If we can take God's word and for just a moment imagine it as the necessary elements to produce good fruit. All of us are trees, right? We can imagine ourselves as some type of plant. Maybe you're a lemon tree. I don't know. Lemon trees are sour. Some of you might be a little bit sour this morning. What does it take to produce a good lemon? Does it just happen naturally? No. It takes work, doesn't it? It requires the proper nutrients. It requires the right amount of sunlight. I'm not very good at growing plants or trees or anything of that nature, but it has certain things that it requires in order to produce good fruit. As Christians, and Jesus reminds us here, a tree is known by its fruit. So the question bears to ask, what kind of fruit are you producing? Are you producing any fruit at all? Are you learning? Are you growing? Or have you become accustomed with just being a twig out in the yard? Shannon's not here, so I'll pick on her twig. If you ever drive past the parsonage, we have a little twig in the front yard, which someday may eventually become a tree. I'm not too sure that it will. But it's interesting to watch how this twig has remained a twig. And maybe it'll grow, I'm not too sure. But you know, what's interesting about this tree is that it has a purpose. This tree is intended to grow. But for whatever reason, it hasn't produced good fruit. For whatever reason, it hasn't developed. As Christians, I think so often we have a purpose. But rather than developing and that producing that good fruit, we've just become comfortable being that twig. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 11. The writer of Hebrews here reminds us that we are called to grow up in Christ. We have become so accustomed with living in this level of immaturity, this lack of knowledge, that we have to be reminded every once in a while that we need to grow up. Now, all of you know that we have a teenager in our house, and I can't tell you how much of the time we have made statements like, grow up. How many of you have ever been told that? To grow up. Now, oftentimes it's usually accompanied with some negative decision. But as Christians, I think so much of it, we don't ever hear that in our own lives, that church, it's time to grow up in our faith. It's time to stop throwing fits. It's time to being upset when we don't get our way. It's time to end these immature things and begin acting like Scripture calls us to act. To be a learning church means that we are to be a growing church. We're to be growing personally and then learning together from those things. Let's look starting in verse 11 of Hebrews chapter 5. It says, "We have a great deal to say about this, and it is difficult to explain, since you have become slow to understand. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of God's revelation. You need milk, not solid food. Now everyone who now lives on milk is inexperienced with the message about righteousness, because he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, and those whose senses have been trained to distinguish between good and evil." Now let me challenge you, as I've done over the past few weeks, if as we read those verses, a person comes to mind and you say, that person needs to mature in their faith, let me stop you right there. Let me stop you right there. Because clearly there's an area in your life that maybe you need to mature in your faith. It's so much easier to look at other people's fruit and say, they're not producing good fruit, but to not look at the fruit in our own life. You see, the writer of Hebrews here really kind of steps on our toes, doesn't he? He starts out as he writes a very personal letter. He says, "We have a great deal to say about this, and it's difficult to explain since you have become slow to understand." You see, the writer of Hebrews exhorts us. He wastes no time in reminding us that we had an opportunity to grow. You look here in verse 11. We have a great deal to say that clearly this was a subject that had been taught on multiple times before. You read at the end of verse 11, it says, "And you have become slow to understand." You see, what that infers for us is that at some point in time, they were active, they were desiring, they wanted to learn and to grow. I wonder if you can remember a time in your own life to where you opened God's Word and you were passionate to study it more. I can remember a time where I opened God's Word and I couldn't put it down. I wanted to learn. I wanted to grow. I wanted to understand. I would go to other books and read commentaries and begin to study more. But at some point in time, I got to this place where I thought, you know, I've already read that verse before. There's nothing else that I have to learn from it. Or, no, I know that truth. It doesn't really apply in this situation. I wonder how many of us have got to the place in our Bible where we think, I already understand that. You know, one of the beauties of God's Word is that, as Hebrews reminds us, it's alive and active. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. I wonder how many of us this morning have become slow to understand. How many of us have become slow to understand because we have become stuck in some sin? I wonder how many of us are slow to understand because we have become stubborn in our own self-righteousness. I wonder how many of us are slow to understand because we believe there's nothing else we have to learn. The writer of Hebrews charges us, he tells us, he reminds us, as 2 Timothy told us, to be diligent. This idea that the writer of Hebrews says that basically we are dead in the water. How many of you remember learning to float? Do you remember learning to float? Some of you don't know how to float, apparently. Do you remember learning to float? I was really bad at it. As I've shared with you before, my pants said that I was husky. And husky kids don't float very well in the water. And I can remember, I sank like a lead balloon. You know, I mean, they taught and taught and taught, and eventually I did figure out how to float. But you know, floating is not the same as swimming. Did you know that? Just staying buoyant doesn't mean you're actually moving anywhere. I wonder how many of us as Christians have just learned how to stay afloat. We can just keep our head above water, but you know what? We're not really going anywhere with it. We're not really growing. We're not developing. We're not just slow to understand. We've decided there's nothing more we need to know. The writer of Hebrews tells us to no longer be dead in the water. 2 Timothy again tells us to be attentive, to have a desire to learn and to grow. You know, for many of us, I think coming back to that place where we are hungry again for God's Word can be a challenging thing for us to do. It can be difficult for us to jump back in and become passionate about something that over the years has become really for us ordinary. You know, a few months ago, I had a conversation with a church member about reading their Bible. They read their Bible three times over. And you know, it's interesting. I love getting these text messages from church members. They'll send me verses from random parts in the Bible and say, "Did you know the Bible says this?" And sometimes I do, and sometimes I don't. You know, but when's the last time? And this was what's amazing about this lady. She's read the Bible three times over, and she still is amazed by God's Word. This morning, I wonder, maybe this morning, we need to be amazed by God's Word again. Maybe we need to open our heart to the Holy Spirit and say, "Open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds to the truth. Make us passionate about your word once again." Verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of God's revelation. You need milk, not solid food. Now the writer of Hebrews, I think, deals with a very familiar subject. How many times do I have to tell you? You remember walking through the book of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul time and time again came back to that truth, saying, how many times do I need to remind you? How many times do I need to tell you? You read throughout the Old Testament and God says, you stubborn people, how many times do I need to tell you? You know, Hebrews chapter 5, I think, is one of those challenging sections of Scripture. Most of you are going to walk out of here and say, man, Chad got hit in the head and he just turned out really mean. But really at the heart of what we read here in these verses is that for many of us, we should be much further along in our faith than we are. The writer of Hebrews says, for most of us, we should be in a position of teacher. But rather than that, we are still needing someone to teach us the most basic of faith. Now, that's an important thing for us each to do, right? No matter how much we have matured, no matter how much we've grown, to be willing to go back to God's Word. So I want to take a little bit of a journey, if you will, to these foundational truths in which the writer of Hebrews tells us. I want to start out in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Probably one of the most basic truths that we can read throughout Scripture. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through Him, and apart from Him, not one thing was created that has been created. Now, John chapter 1 sets for us a foundation, really, of God's authority. And not only His authority, but His Word's authority in our lives. That as we begin to study God's Word, we are learning from the Creator of all things. That in the midst of these things, that nothing at all was created. All things were created through Him, and apart from Him, not one thing was created or has been created. It puts not only in perspective who God is, but also who we are. Colossians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul writes in verses 15 through 16, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For everything was created by Him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. You see, this purpose, if you will, it's the Greek word telos. The Greek word telos gives us a reminder that ultimately everything was not only created by God, but it came through His Son. That through Jesus, all these things have been revealed. All things created and everything under the authority of God have been created by and for Him. It gives us a perspective of His authority in our lives. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, it says, so that we who had already put our hope in the Messiah might bring praise to His glory. You see, these three verses, first of all, establishes for us who God is, His role in creation and in our lives. They tell us of who Jesus is, His purpose and what He did for us on the cross. And then thirdly, what we are to do with that truth. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 5. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of God's revelation. You need milk and not solid food. Now, the most simple explanation I can give this to you is probably it's a farmer example. How many of you have ever raised a bottle calf? A few of you have raised a bottle calf. How do you start feeding a bottle calf? Do you give them solid food? No. What do you give them? A bottle full of milk. But there comes a point in time to where that calf outgrows the milk, right? Now, maybe a more practical example. I have to be careful saying that. I was going to say I've never raised a child. Hopefully I've participated. But you'll let Shannon tell you that story later. She can figure that out. But you think about raising a child. Do you start a child out on solid food? No. Over time, they begin to develop and they begin to be able to process through those things. You see, church, as Christians, I think there's two different ways that we can go. Maybe we were discipled. We were given milk. And over time, we were introduced to these solid foods. And as we have developed as Christians, we have desired, if we can call it, the spiritual state. We've looked for those things and we've found the most precious and valuable things in God's Scripture. And through His Holy Spirit, we continue to learn and to grow. But I think for many of us, we got off the milk too quickly. We said, okay, I know enough. I'm going to jump into the deep end. How many of you have ever opened God's Word and just been incredibly overwhelmed? But you were afraid to ask. You were afraid to learn. I think as Christians, sometimes we can become so concerned that, well, what if I don't have an answer for this? You know, one of the things that surprises me the most as people come to me and say, well, preacher, don't you have an answer for that? Sometimes I don't. You know, one of my favorite responses to someone who asked me a question I don't have an answer for is, let's find out together. If anybody tells you they know everything about the Bible, run. As Christians, we have to be careful to be willing to learn. Verse 13 goes a little bit deeper. It says, now everyone who lives on milk is inexperienced with the message about righteousness because he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, for those whose senses have been trained to distinguish between good and evil. You see, God's Word has been given to us to tell us the truth about good and evil. This morning in Sunday school, we wrapped up a study through the book of Ecclesiastes. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, it helps us to understand the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Just having information is knowledge. Having knowledge is valuable and important. Years ago, I encountered an individual who I would describe as the smartest dumb person I have ever met. You ever known somebody like that? They were just incredibly smart, but they couldn't fight their way out of a wet paper bag. For us as Christians, we are called to not just have the knowledge, but to grow in wisdom. To not just be able to regurgitate God's Word and to tell other people how they should live according to Scripture, but we are to live that out in our own lives. Not just storing up information for information's sake, but using it for application. Shannon shared with you just a few moments ago in one of the songs that this is that charge to go. Last week we talked about what it means to be an evangelizing church. Just having the answers isn't evangelism, but sharing those things that God has revealed to us is. To be a worshiping church means that we are willing and able, seeking after God's truth and giving Him the glory in which He deserves. This week, our challenge, our charge, is to continue to grow. Church, if you ever have any area that you want to grow in, let me know. There's so many resources available today that we have answers upon answers upon answers. But maybe this morning, you're not just looking for answers, but you've come to this place, you say, okay, now what do I do with it? Let me challenge you, charge you, encourage you, get plugged in. Sunday morning is important. Worship during this hour is valuable. But get plugged in during Sunday school. That's the place and time where discipleship happens. Get plugged into a part of a small group. Be a part of a group like MOPS or be a part of our different Bible studies, our Wednesday night groups together. Those are the places where we come and we learn and we grow. As believers, it's essential that we continue to move forward. Now, next week, as I said, we're going to wrap up our series together on what it means to be a well church, talking about what it means to be a loving church. All of these things are valuable and important. But without love, as 1 Corinthians 13 reminds us, we are just a resounding gong. Let me go back and read this to you one more time out of the book I shared on page 14. We are not to love fellow church members just because they are lovable. We are to love the unlovable as well. We are to pray for and encourage our pastors just when they are doing things we like. We are to pray for and encourage them when they do things we don't like. We are not to serve the church only when others are joining in. We are to serve the church even if we are doing it alone. Church membership is founded in love. Authentic, biblical, unconditional love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you that there is so much to learn. As we study through your word, God, we are overwhelmed with your truth. God, I pray that you would reignite a passion in our lives for that. God, that as we open our word together, as we study in our own personal lives, God, I pray this morning, this afternoon, tomorrow, God, that you would ignite again for us a desire to know, to follow, and to be obedient to your truth. God, I pray that you would help us to not just gain knowledge, but to live it out. God, I pray this morning for those that are struggling just to survive on the milk. God, I pray that you would help them to develop and to grow. But I pray for those this morning who have been living on milk, but have a need to go deeper. God, I pray that you would again reignite for them a desire to learn. God, I pray for those that are mature, those that are eating spiritual meat. God, that they would continue to share that with others. God, that they would begin to invest, to develop, and to point others to the love of Christ. God, I thank you for this church. God, I thank you for all the great things that you have done, Lord, as we continue to grow as a worshiping, an evangelizing, a learning, and a loving church. God, as we go from this place, as we are just reminded, help us to be founded in your love first and foremost. Lord, we thank you for all you do. We thank you for your love that you poured out for us on the cross through your Son, Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.